You mentioned KRAS, and we see a lot of interest and excitement in that in colon cancer, particularly with regard to EGFR antibodies. Where do we know about KRAS and EGFR TKIs in non-small cell?
Well, right now, the thought is that at least some of the studies have shown that patients who have KRAS mutations will not respond to the EGFR tyrosine kinase inhibitors. So people are now looking at that to see whether or not that can predict those patients who truly won't benefit at all or actually their tumors grow right through the EGFR tyrosine kinase inhibitors. But there's no prospective data looking at that.
Now I'm starting to hear people talking about maybe integrating KRAS into clinical management in colon cancer. Do you see that happening in lung cancer in the near future?
I think not in the near future, but down the road. People are talking about, say, if you see a patient with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer, the things to potentially look at least at first, is to see whether or not giving them Tarceva up front would be appropriate, looking at EGFR mutations. If they're EGFR mutation positive, one could consider using Tarceva up front rather than chemotherapy. But again, this has not been tested prospectively. Now, if a patient has KRAS mutations, then one would consider that erlotinib would not work down the road, even in the second or third line setting, and so to truly concentrate on chemotherapy potentially. But even patients with KRAS mutations aren't supposed to respond to chemotherapy that well either, so you may not have much of an option for treatment of those patients. However, again, if those patients remain stable with their disease, treated with these type of medications, I think that that's something to look forward to, and so the longer we can control their disease, the better. And I think all this data with KRAS is all retrospective. I think actually probably the most important thing is to develop different inhibitors for those patients with KRAS mutations to actually focus on that pathway rather than some of the other ones.
Overall, what would be your estimate or what do we know about the fraction of non-smokers who have tumors either with EGFR amplification or mutations?
So the fraction of non-smokers that actually have EGFR mutations, depending on what population you're looking at, can range anywhere between 20% to even 40%. And in some Asian populations, it's even up to 60%. So there's a wide range depending on the population that you look at. So if you actually live in Korea or China or Japan, the percentage of EGFR mutations are much higher compared to here in the United States with the same population, women, non-smokers, or even immigrant Asians, non-smokers.